Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
The wait is finally over. Football is back. You might not be at the game this year, but you can still be in on the action at Bet Online. You know, last year in the Super Bowl, there was lots of bets going on. A lot of people got nervous when Kansas City was down, even in the fourth quarter, but they pulled through for those Kansas City bettors, and they're right back here in the opener this season. So for game spreads and totals to team, player, and coaching props, Bet Online gives you more options to wager than any place online. And there's always the online casino as well. It never closes. So head to betonline.ag today and take advantage of all the great sign-up bonuses. Again, that's betonline.ag and sign up today. Bet Online, your online sportsbooks experts. What's up, Clipper Nation? We are back. Jesse Cass and Alex Acker here with you for a new episode of the Believe in Clippers podcast here on the Believe Podcast Network. Alex, we had a little bit of time to kind of regather, regroup, and lo and behold, the next NBA season is fast approaching now, so we got a lot to talk about this week.
Definitely do, for sure. A lot of things are evolving, so it's getting back to basketball season right now, yep.
Yeah, and obviously on the Clipper front of things, the last time we talked was, you know, breaking down the announcement of Ty Lue becoming the head coach, and you know, we had some speculation on who would be part of his coaching staff, but now we have pretty much all the names that we know, and it's quite a list, quite a staff that he's put together to join him to take over for this new era of Clippers basketball. And you know, a couple of the names we talked about, we knew Chauncey Billups and Larry Drew, those were actually the last ones finalized, but they're in there. And alongside them, you got Kenny Atkinson, who was, of course, most recently the head coach of the Brooklyn Nets, and Dan Craig, a highly touted assistant with the Miami Heat. Both of those guys huge in player development, which I know the Clippers want to focus on. So just your thoughts on the assembling of this coaching staff that Tyler's put together with those names, Atkinson, Craig, Chauncey Billups, and Larry Drew.
No, I mean, they have all good ties to Tyronn Lue. It's built on trust in the foundation of just helping and being for different aspects, you know, from Chauncey Billups' standpoint of leadership on the court, of a player that he has portrayed himself to be. It's very valuable. We talked about that last podcast and a lot of other familiar attributes as far as the coaching staff they have. Tyronn Lue is real familiar what they bring to the table, so it's a good look for sure. Just from that standpoint, I know that the Clippers are anxious to win and get over this hump, this hurdle that they're trying to get over, and they're pulling out all the stunts, all the power horses, you know, from the coaching staff to the players.
Yeah, no question. We know that, we've talked about that too, that Steve Ballmer is gonna kind of open up the checkbook and really allow the team to get whoever they need to get to try to get over that hump, like you said. But I know we talked about it a little bit last time, but you, of course, having personal experience playing with Chauncey Billups, what do you think as far as, you know, his ability? He's always been a leader. He's always been a great point guard, a great player. How that translates for him and what you see for him, in the coaching ranks as an assistant here with the Clippers?
Yeah, he has both sides of a leadership. You know, I see him leading as a individual as far as what he brings to the table, just off actions. You know what I mean? People look to him and they see, you know, he has that wow factor as being a leader. His actions and examples, and on communication. You know, I've gotten firsthand a look at him countless times, you know, leading in practice, being the first leader, and you know, and it shows from that standpoint. You know, the first practice is going to standpoint of a lot of things that needs to be orchestrated out, and he's going to be a general that Tyronn Lue looks forward to. He gets that the wow factor as far as when he's talking, everybody's got all eyes on him, because you know, it's powerful what he's going to bring to the table. And those little things that's needed to winning a championship, he has all those caliber things for.
Yeah, no question. And obviously, the you know, championships, like you said, are won by the players on the court. But, you know, it definitely doesn't hurt to get yourself, you know, guys like this who can really help out in a number of ways. Where, of course, Tyronn Lue, similar to Chauncey, you know, he's obviously won a championship as a head coach. He's one of those guys that had a long career as a player, has been around all the greats from Jordan to Kobe to LeBron. So, you know, he commands respect in that way. And then you've got, on the other side of the staff, of course, Kenny Atkinson, known as, you know, an innovative offensive coach and someone who got a lot out of those Nets teams before they had a lot of talent. And Dan Craig, similarly with this Miami Heat team, he was part of that staff that really got a lot out of those young guys and Tyler Hero and Duncan Robinson. So, you know, that's something that the Clippers are looking for with who, whatever young players that they have on their roster that they're looking to develop.
It's true.
Yeah, and like we said, the NBA season is all of a sudden not too far away. You know, in the past few weeks, there had been negotiations about if the season would start just before Christmas or a little bit after the new year. But with so much money that could have been lost and left on the table, it almost seemed inevitable that it would be that December 22nd start that was agreed upon just the other day. So that's going to be the go-ahead for the league. And
let's go.
And free agency, all of a sudden you look down at the calendar next Friday. So about, you know, 8 days before free agency gets going. Of course, the draft is on next Wednesday. So we'll really start to see the trade winds and the free agency pick up in a big, big way in this next week and a half. And we know that the Clippers, of course, you know, cap-wise don't have a lot to do, but they're going to be looking to aggressively improve their roster, and it'll be really interesting to see, you know, what direction they want to go.
True, for sure. And I think we got a lot of bodies on this team as far as free agencies from Jackson and Morris and, you know, Patterson as well. You know, it's good to see if they can put something together. If not, or keep them, you know, they bring a lot of things as far as every single body on this team. But, you know, it's cutthroat. You know, that's what this business is. And there's no hard feelings at all. They're out to get what they want, you know, and they're putting everything, all their eggs in the basket. So, you know, free agency, it's a lot of people out here right now that are looking for a good team to be a contender for sure.
Yeah, no question. And in this episode in particular, we're going to focus on the point guard position. We know the Clippers, as you mentioned, have their own free agents who they can all re-sign if they choose. And, you know, as you mentioned, a few of them, Reggie Jackson, Marcus Morris, Jermichael Green, Montrezl Harrell, you know, Patrick Patterson. So those will be important moves. But a lot of the discussion has been, you know, rightly or wrongly about point guard play. And we know that, you know, Patrick Beverley is a great player, but he's had trouble staying healthy. You know, the talk about maybe they need more of a playmaker, whether that's true or not, that's been kind of a focus on the outside. So we're going to dive into a lot of those options in the point guard market. And Alex, since your you know, social media name is AckWright, we're gonna use that to parlay into our segment. We'll call this Right or Wrong, and I'm going to give you know, go down the list here, and you're going to say if you feel these guys would be a good fit if they're right, or if they're a bad fit if they're wrong for the Clippers this offseason. So let's dive into some point guard options and see what we can find for the Clippers in this offseason.
Okay.
All right, so the first one name that we've seen reported, Mark Stein reported the Clippers are interested. He, of course, just won a championship with the team down the hall in the Lakers. Rajon Rondo. Do you think we feel right or wrong for the Clippers on Rajon Rondo as a point guard option?
Man, I would feel 100% right about that. You know what I mean? They need that tenacity. But as far as if they keep Patrick Beverley, it's going to definitely clash. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I think that's not going to mix well at all. But Rajon Rondo would be a great fit because he doesn't take away anything. He just adds more value. Being that he's a seasoned veteran that he is, he knows how to blend in and, you know, put the spotlight on the stars of what they are. You know, and giving them in the right position to execute, it'd be a great fit for sure.
Yeah, the funny thing about Rondo, and I think Laker fans rode this roller coaster most of the year as well. You know, he was legitimately for a while in the regular season had long stretches where he was really bad, and then you look at the playoffs, he was phenomenal. Where, you know, he kind of has that switch where when it's playoff time, he has another gear and just another level. Yeah. And You know, I'm sure that can be frustrating as a fan sometimes, and, you know, there are faults in his game in terms of the outside shooting, but in terms, you know, we saw it in these playoffs. There is something there in playoff basketball where his game translates there really well. So even though there might be, you know, some bumps and grinds during the season, I tend to agree that, you know, his shooting might be an issue at times in spacing the floor, but I think defensively, his ability to set up other guys and break down the defense, especially for the price that he could probably be had for, I think it could be a good fit.
Yeah, no, he makes the right read for sure. He's developed a good jump shot off the dribble. I've seen him knock down a lot of shots that was, you know, not so much clutch, but they're leaving him open, and he was able to take those shots without hesitating. You know, make or miss, you got to take those shots and be 100% in when you do take shots. But as far as his game, man, people that know basketball, and I say know basketball, know the flow of basketball, 82-game season, the veterans really are just trying to get in shape during the season. I'm not going to lie to you. I've witnessed countless players that I've been with. One in particular was Rasheed Wallace. You know, he used us rookies just to get him to the playoffs, you know what I mean? He was just really out to lunch for that standpoint, getting in shape during the season. And, you know, I think his work ethic as far as what he brings is just measured for the playoffs. You know, I think he's a playoff contender, and he only wants to win championships. He can care less about any accolade moving into the playoffs.
All right, so we'll knock that one into the right column. Let's go down the list again. I'll give the caveat that this is a player who probably will end up out of the price range for the Clippers, but we'll throw it in there anyway. He's a free agent. Goran Dragic, most recently, of course, the Miami Heat. Right or wrong?
Yeah, nah, I think Goran Dragic is going to die a Miami Heat. They love him there, yeah. You know what I mean? They really love him, and they said that was the first person they're targeting after the playoffs was over. But for sure, Goran Dragic, that guy, he's fearless, man. The Dragon, you know what I mean? You don't get that nickname for no reason, you know. And he plays with 100% attitude and demeanor, and, you know, he's a killer, man, on the court. You know, nobody can stop him. They know which way he's going left 24 hours at a time. They can't stop that guy, man. You know what I mean? I had the privilege of working out with him, and he's a machine. He doesn't stop.
Yeah, no, I think in an ideal world, it would be a great fit, because you're talking about a guy who breaks down the defense really well, is a great three-point shooter, you know, as you said, fearless, kind of clutch player. But I think, like you just mentioned as well, Miami really wants to bring him back for a team that just made it to the finals, of course. So they, you know, have no reason to want to break that thing up. Dragic is getting a little older, but he's still extremely effective. And before he got hurt, he was leading the team in scoring in the playoffs. So it just shows how important he can be.
Yeah. No, that's true.
So that would be a nice one, but we don't think that's realistic. So we'll move We'll move down the list. Another free agent point guard, DJ Augustine, who, of course, has been with the Magic for a few years, right or wrong?
Augustine. Whew. That's right, too, I would definitely say. That's a great fit, Augustine is, man. He's a quiet assassin, and he's really a great attribute as far as on the offensive end. Crafty. And, DJ Augustine, I like DJ Augustine. That would be a great fit now that I think about it. Just looking at his old game in a nutshell, that would be a really great fit for him.
Yeah, no, I mean, my only worry with Augustine would be, you know, defensively and depending on what kind of lineups you're playing him with. But, you know, that could obviously be masked if you're playing him more with Kawhi Leonard and Paul George in a better defensive lineup. But, simply from the fact of shooting the basketball, being able to penetrate and get into the lane, another good option. I think he would probably be more suited as a backup, but again, it doesn't hurt to beef up your roster. And as we also said, with Patrick Beverley having, you know, health issues over the past number of seasons, wouldn't be a bad insurance policy either.
Yeah, for sure. But I think about it too, what you just said too, as far as the defensive end, though, he is a liability for sure. Similar to Reggie Jackson, just the size and advantage that he has. But that can be hidden for sure. I think he has a great, great way of leading on the court as far as just being tenacity as all his offense is, his defense for sure.
All right, so we'll move forward. Kind of the on the flip side of Augustine, who's a great offensive player, struggles on the defensive end. What about Chris Dunn? Obviously, a young player with the Bulls, known more for his defense, right or wrong, for the Clippers?
Nah, Chris Dunn wouldn't be a good fit for sure. He's still got a lot of learning to understand and go through. I think what we need is probably somebody to actually have that mold is a little bit more seasoned for sure. Dunn would be a little bit of liability on the defense end for sure. You know what I mean? Been taken advantage of. And there'll be a lot more help the Kawhi Leonard would have to do as far as guarding point guards and everybody else down the list. And putting Paul George in foul trouble as well, which he did towards the playoffs. So I would think that'd be a no for me for sure.
Okay. Yeah. We'll move forward. Again, another veteran point guard who's been around for a while. What about Jeff Teague?
Teague? Oh, man. Teague is quick as hell. He's shifty. He's lightning speed quick. I think his thing would be his shooting, you know. Teams tend to play off of him on the shooting. So he would really have to work on his shooting from a guard standpoint. The Clippers are a shooting team. You know, they get up jacks, you know, and you got to be able to keep up with them. If not, to help knock down a couple of shots that are wide open that's going to be given to you from the double team and triple teams that Kawhi and Paul George is getting, you know. So that's got to be a huge factor into that as well.
Yeah, so I think especially with Ty Lue and kind of the offense that the Clippers will most likely play, he's already talked about wanting to push the pace more and obviously shoot more three-pointers. So mm-hmm. while Teague can push the pace, you said the shooting could be an issue. We know he's in that kind of mold where he's a little smaller, not as good a defender either. So I tend to lean away from that one as well, even though he is a talented guy. I don't know if the fit is perfect there with the Clippers.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, and then another likely way out of the price range for the Clippers, but he is probably one of the number one players on the free agent market, Fred VanVleet for coming from the Raptors. What would your thoughts be if he was gettable for the Clippers?
Man, I would think Kawhi Leonard would be all in his ear if he was gettable, for sure. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Man, he's a sleeper, man. I really... He's disturbing how crafty he is. You know what I mean? You would think this guy is out of shape the way he looks, but he is a slippery tool getting to the basket and getting into being a bug on defense too. You know, he's got his hands in the passing lanes in the right direction. He's getting, you know, the right situations. He's forcing the defense at hands, you know what I mean, pushing the ball. He's turning the ball over from the offensive standpoint. No, he's not turning the ball over from the offensive standpoint. I mean, he's putting a lot of point guards in turnover ratio percentages mm-hmm. very well, you know. So I would say that would be a great fit, but for sure that's out of the price range.
Yeah, no, I think he, especially, you know, if he's able to get it, there are a couple teams, not a lot with cap room. Of course, the Raptors are going to try hard to re-sign him, but – you know, just like we saw Malcolm Brogdon last year get over $20 million a year, I think that's what VanVleet is going to be looking for, and
sure.
I'm sure he'll get it somewhere because,
yeah.
you know, he obviously already shown, is playoff tested, was right there in that Game 6 against the Warriors as a huge factor in closing out that championship mm-hmm. and has that experience with Kawhi. So in that a dream world, he honestly might be the perfect player to fit with the Clippers in terms of,
definitely.
You know, his shooting ability, his ability to get into the lane and finish, and also just as a rugged, tough defender who is physical. But
off the bench with them, right?
This past year he started, but yeah, he's done a little bit of both with the Raptors. Yeah. But he I think, yeah, a couple years ago he started on the bench and worked his way into the starting rotation.
Nah, that'd be a good look for him. I think that'd be something that'd be huge for him to have that role of being a leader throughout the whole season and somebody, a team that depended on him. That'd be dope for sure.
Yeah, so those are the main free agent targets, but we know that players are also gettable in the trade market. So there's a few other point guards that we've highlighted on the trade market, and we'll see your thoughts on them. Again, some of these are going to be much more unrealistic in terms of how easy it would be to trade for them. We'll give those caveats as well. But a couple of trade potential point guards on the market that we'll run through as well. So let's start with a former Clipper. We've talked about this a little bit in the past. Be very, very tough to pull off, but the rumors are out there that he will likely get traded somewhere. Chris Paul, for the right or wrong.
No, I've heard rumors about him actually coming back with the Clippers, you know. I don't know if he was bumping heads with the coach or coaching staff at one point, but, you know, he kind of was trying to get over that hump, too, with the Clippers, and he had nagging injuries during those times in the playoffs were preventing him to, you know, be 100%. Oh, man, Chris Paul actually reinvented himself this year, man, and it was hard to do because he's always been an all-star every single year. When he got traded, everybody thought he was just going to just tank and he was just going to be comfortable in his position, but he really came to himself, you know, with the Thunder and stuff and busted his ass. And, man, he's a star, man, for real. I can't even knock him, man. He's been in the league for 15, 16 years now, and similar to LeBron James, you know what I mean? He's been holding his own countless amount of how many point guards come in the league. He's still dominating, you know, at a dominant force. So, man, if that would be something that they would target, I would definitely look into it because he deserves to be on a caliber team like the Clippers.
Yeah, I mean, from the Hollywood look of it, you know, coming back, as you said, for unfinished business and, you know, for how, you know, competitive the Clipper teams he was on over the, you know, the Lob City era, it would be incredible. It's just you would have to make a lot of the money work. It would be, you know, especially for an Oklahoma City team that would be not looking to take a ton of money back, but you know, you'd have to look at it as how much it would gut the rest of your roster, and that's just, you know, unknown at this point, but it would be almost certainly some combination of basically what they got for him in the first place, you know, Beverly, Harrell Williams, like it would have to be something like that to make it work, which is kind of ironic, but would be really interesting, obviously, if there's a big three of CP3, Kawhi, and Paul George.
Yeah, for sure. I think at the age that he's at now, the money that he's been making, and I'm not in his pocket by no means, is really not a huge aspect. I think if you want to be a champion, you have to actually, you know, cut some losses into, you know, your pockets just to get your name edged in that, you know, that history stone for sure. And I think that this is, if this presents itself for sure, he would definitely look into it for sure.
I
think so.
We'll just see if, you know, for Oklahoma City, I'm sure they'd love to get something back for him, but you know, he did great things for them. Maybe if there's nothing, you know, brewing on the trade market, that eventually at some point there could be buyout talks. But yeah, we'll just have to wait and see on that. We'll move forward in the trade target list. Someone that we know is, you know, on the trade market, but I'm sure the asking price is high. Jrue Holiday for the Pelicans, young team. He's obviously you know, a little bit above their timeline, you know, closer to 30 years old. They've got all those, you know, 22-year-old kids. So, Jrue Holiday, your thoughts on him?
Jrue Holiday, that man, that's a 5-star resort right there. I don't see nothing wrong with his game at all. You know, from both ends of the court, he is a monster. You know what I mean? And that's what the Clippers' signature is all about, man. It's just being an all-around dog, you know, and that's what he is. But highly unlikely, but I would definitely throw in the whole basket, everybody, you know what I mean? I would play with five players if I can get a chance to get on his team for sure.
Yeah, no, as we go down this list, and I was talking about how Fred VanVleet would be the perfect compliment, you could say the exact same thing about Jrue Holiday, and maybe even more so, that he's a a star in every aspect, handling the ball, shooting the ball, defensively. That would be an amazing pick. And like you said, five-star resort, you know, he's the real Four Seasons. He's not the Four Seasons total landscaping. He's the real deal.
The real Eiffel Tower. Yeah,
so that would be another, I said, unlikely, but another great option. We'll look at some other ones that, you know, these names haven't been specifically in the trade market, but we know that these teams that they're on are looking to reposition themselves a little bit. What are your thoughts about Mike Conley, who, of course, is with the Jazz right now?
Mike Conley, left bandit, man. He's a sleeper, too, man. I don't know. I don't know if he has enough. I don't know what it's called. I don't know. I don't know, really. He's been on teams that's just not really, like, pushed him, I would say. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And the Jazz, at one point, I think it was last year, they got to a point where they were contender teams and stuff. But he needs to be really pushed and looked at like, okay, here's your chance to really take a team and be successful. You know what I mean? It's all or nothing type thing. And who knows what happened, you know, if he's going to be able to shine. And because he's a monster for sure, but sometimes he does get lost, you know, in games or something like that where you don't see too much of him throughout the course of the game. He just let the game flow to him. He doesn't really, like, go after it like he did when he first came into the league. You know, his name was buzzing, like stupid buzzing, because nobody can keep up with this dude. But now he's a little bit more – I never would say comfortable by no means, because he's a double-digit off, points and assists type guy. But, you know, I think he needs to really, like, come out of his shell and be presented as, like, one of those leading point guards that he needs to be, you know, like Damian Lillard type things.
Yeah, and I think, you know, a little bit opposed to the two guys we just talked about in Chris Paul and Drew Holiday, you know, Conley certainly has been up in that caliber of player and still is a very talented player. But, again, looking at just kind of the logistics of, you know, he's making $30-something million a year, what it would take to get him, I don't know if it would be worth it compared to some of those other high-profile guys who, you know, you would likely be willing to give up more to get them. Might not be worth it as much for someone like Conley.
No, for sure. No, I don't think so. I don't think so at all.
All right, so we'll move forward. What about Ricky Rubio? What are your thoughts on Ricky?
Ricky, man, every day, every year, he's really reinvented himself. They said he can't shoot. He shows that he can, you know. He's still a young guy, but seasoned, you know, as far as basketball wise. He has that Euro tenacity where I'm really familiar with, just going out there and giving it all. Something like Dragic, like you said before, just getting the job done. He doesn't care, you know, what's on the stat sheet. He's going to do any and everything to get the job done. So I really like Ricky Rubio, his game. He's been shooting the ball a lot better. It would be something to look at for sure. I would definitely pick Ricky Rubio for sure, 100%. He's the leader.
Yeah, I think, like you said, as long as he continues to show any ability to knock down the outside shot, his passing ability would be highly valued on a team like this. So I think that could be a nice fit. Obviously, Phoenix is not going to give him away for nothing, but that's another, you know, potentially exciting fit. So we'll see what happens there. Moving forward, how about Derrick Rose?
Ooh, that might could happen, though. You know what I mean? Derrick Rose is looking for a contender team, you know. Man, I heard the Lakers was trying to sue him as well.
Yeah.
So he's definitely willing to come to L.A., whichever team it is. I'm pretty sure of it.
Yeah, no, but I think so. I think that fit would be interesting just because, you know, from the outside, Rose is not as good a shooter, but he does, you know, still, even after all the injuries, you know, break down defenses and get into the lane as well as anyone. So that's an interesting one. It's tough to gauge. You know, obviously, trade-wise, I don't think I would really give up much, but if, you know, if he's willing to accept a lesser role, that could be an interesting fit.
Yeah, for sure. You always got to throw in that wrench as far as the health-wise and stuff like that. You can't really bank on him. Being 100% healthy, you just got to have reassurance that, you know, you got to monitor that more than anything, because he goes hard, man. You know, we always know D-Rose has no calm button. You know, he's made himself by really, you know, exploding and being the D-Rose that we all know on the scene. And even though his game is taking a halt, but he's still efficient from, you know, 15 foot in and getting to the basket, creating for himself and putting pressure on the defense and the big man, you know, driving to the basket and stuff. So D-Rose is definitely a lights out contender for sure.
Yeah. So we got a couple more on the list, three more for right or wrong in the trade market. What about another former Clipper back in his younger days, Eric Bledsoe?
Bledsoe, ooh, I like Bledsoe. Can't shoot a lick at all. He still can't shoot a lick. He's one of the buffest guards I've ever seen play basketball. Nah, for real. But Bledsoe, he's his IQ is off the chart, man. And then he's like D-Rose, you know. But he goes actually north and south. He doesn't go, you know, side to side. He's going right at you. So that pressure's dope, man. I really like, you know, Bledsoe's game. But, you know, they need somebody that can shoot the ball a little bit more, you know, a little bit more touch on the outside.
Yeah, Bledsoe would give them something similar to Patrick Beverley. And granted, Beverley has been a much better three-point shooter than Bledsoe, but they both, you know, have that tenacity defensively. Bledsoe, much better, as you said, north-south, getting into the lane, getting to the paint. So that would be interesting. But obviously, as you said, you know, shooting, I think, is pretty imperative for whoever fits alongside the rest of this lineup. So that
it's going to come a time. It's going to come a time where one of these point guards that you're mentioning, if there is anyone that comes in, that's going to have to take a big shot, you know. And Bledsoe's definitely not on my list to take that big shot for us. By no means, yeah.
All right, so I think I know where you're probably headed on this next right or wrong, considering his shooting is still a work in progress. But we mentioned the other New Orleans point guards. What about Lonzo Ball in the trade market?
Ball has changed that transformer shot. It looks a lot better. And he's just like a – you know what? The nonchalant, I'm going to be honest with you, the nonchalant isn't going to get it for this team. I don't think you can actually have a point guard that just lets things come to him, because you'll look up, you'll be down by 15 points, and we're still waiting for him to, you know, explode type thing. You know, like, we need somebody when that ball's tipped up that you know exactly what you're going to get. We still don't know what we're going to get out of Lonzo Ball, even though he can be a sensation a lot of times. Getting into the pocket is one thing. Making good passes is another thing. We need people that can actually penetrate. Point guards that can actually get into the lane and create with contact. Alonzo Ball, he does a great job kicking the ball up and making extra passes on the break and stuff like that. But when it comes down to playing one-on-one, which this team is a one-on-one team, you know, in a nutshell, you got to be able to create for yourself and hold your own, you know. And Alonzo Ball doesn't give us that, you know, that percentage of where he can be efficient in that standpoint. That's how I look at it.
All right, and then one more. Again, not knowing if he'd be traded or not, this is obviously a little bit lower level than what we've been talking about, but a young player just like Lonzo. What about Frank Ntilikina, who's been on the Knicks for the past few years, still only, I believe, 22 or 23 years old. Your thoughts on Frank?
Big guard. Yeah, I like Nico. I like him. He's a big guard, man. He's a worm. He reminds me of Durant in a way, you know what I mean. He's a big guard, nice size, nice 15-foot range, can handle the ball like a guard. I like him. He's a great poise, you know, size of basketball, and he handles the pressure well. I like him.
Yeah, I mean, obviously playing in New York, you know, I think for him, offensive aggressiveness is a big thing, and likely on a team like the Clippers, he would be essentially doing the same stuff that Patrick Beverley has done and probably playing a very similar role. Great defender, would have to knock down the three. But as you said, there is that component that there's you know, more potential there because he's younger and bigger and could grow into something more offensively. So that's, you know, someone that I think New York still values, but, you know, they have a high draft pick. They might take another guard. So, it, you know, someone who could potentially become available in the next couple of weeks.
All right, they then, let him go. Who knows, though?
Yeah, and then one final one, just because, you know, the rumor mill kicks up as we get closer to these things, but we've heard or just saw today that, you know, the Clippers might be one of the teams interested in Russell Westbrook, of course, is a huge name.
Oh, man.
What are your thoughts on Russ?
Russ is looking for a team. I know he is. I know the Rockets are pretty much done with him. But he's looking for a team for sure. Who knows, you know, what's in Russ's head. You know, I think Russ is, he's willing to actually, I don't know, give a little bit to get a little bit. You know what I mean? And he did a lot for the Rockets, and he's taken away a lot of his game in order to fit in. And maybe he'll be able to do that with the Clippers, you know? And who knows? I said it before that Russ might not be a fit, but, you know, Russ has always been a winner in my book for sure. You can't take that away from him. And
yeah, what you think? That's another one where just, you know, the fit is tough. And then I think more so than that, it's just the price tag again, because you have the, just like the Chris Paul thing, you know, Russ with that huge deal is going to make, I believe, like $44 million next year. So even to just put together any trade, you'd have to maybe gut the roster, and for what's already, you know, a tough questionable fit, and we emphasize the importance of shooting, you know, I just think that's not his strong suit, and is probably not the best fit overall. So, you know, unless it was some circumstance where you could have an unlikely thing like a buyout, then I don't think it's really realistic or the right thing.
Understandable. But they are. They you heard rumors that the Rockets are probably, you know, switching it up and going somewhere else, right?
Yeah. No. I mean, I think, you know, especially around this time, we're going to hear so many things, and true. You know, who knows what style the Rockets are going to play now that they have, you know, Steven Silas is the new head coach there. If they're going to continue to go with the model that they've gone, or if they're going to switch it up a little bit, but they seem like they're at least, you know, still sticking with Harden for the time being, but, you know, whether they keep that Russ Harden thing going is, you know, to be determined.
Okay.
But yeah, we've got a lot of point guard options and a lot of options in general. So we'll, you know, this was a good little game of right or wrong. We'll break down some other positions as we go forward. And we know that, you know, next week we'll be kind of looking forward to the draft and free agency and the Clippers, you know, getting ready for a new season just a little over a month away.
Yep, let's do it, man. For real. I'm excited about it. I'm glad they actually activated it, and it's a go.
Yeah, so short off season for some teams, though. They've been off since March, so they're ready to go, and we're ready to get back to it, too. So especially with the way things ended, it'll be nice to have some basketball back sooner rather than later.
Yep.
And that's going to do it for this week's edition of the Believe in Clippers podcast. Thanks so much for tuning in. If you enjoy the show, please rate, review, and subscribe on Apple. And we're available wherever else you can find your podcast. With all that said, that's it for this week's episode. We'll talk to you again next week on the Believe Podcast Network, LA's number one sports podcast network, and the only place with a show for every team in LA and more. We believe in our LA teams. Do you believe? Go Clips.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.